Looking for a guiding hand in your Amazon business? Wizards of Ecom Academy is here for you. Our personalized support system includes unlimited email access to myself and my entire team to help you overcome challenges and strategize effectively. Sign up for an exclusive rate at wizardsofecom.com/academy. Your personal e-commerce coach awaits.
Welcome to the Wizards of Ecom, your no-fluff playbook for online success. Each episode is fully packed with actionable tactics you can implement in your business right now. Take your life to a higher level and excel in your online success. It's time to work on you and your business. Let's do this.
Welcome back to the Wizards of Ecom. My name is Carlos Alvarez, and I will be your host for the show. On today's episode, we have the CEO of PPC Ninja and two-time presenter in the Wizards of Amazon PPC Meetup Group, Ritu Java. What's up, Rita? Welcome to the show.
Hi, Carlos. Everything is great. I just got my vaccine yesterday, so I'm super excited that I'm past it. I'm excited to be on your show.
Absolutely. Likewise, I am very excited. Your shot, was it like one or two parts?
It's part one. I still have the second part.
Oh, you do have a second one. I have a second one coming that I'll take in about, I think, a week.
Oh, okay.
We'll see. They say the second one is the one where you feel maybe a little down or side effects. So we'll see. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Ritu, I invited you to the show because towards the tail end, I mean, you're just an amazing person. Your blog, which I'm going to reference throughout this, ppcninja.com/blog, has a ton of really awesome stuff. So anybody listening to this, you're going to hear me reference like certain blogs from your website a few times. But I invited you to the show because towards the tail end of your last amazing presentation that you gave to my meetup group, Wizards of Amazon, the subject was how to effectively use Amazon's bidding strategies and placement modifiers. Fantastic, fantastic presentation. It's in the video vault for anyone that wants to listen to it. But towards the end, you used the phrase, you know, diagnosing the funnel. I believe it was like diagnosing the Amazon PPC funnel. Throughout this, again, I'm going to reference, like, I guess, shortening it up to diagnosing the funnel, but we didn't have time to really unpack it at the end. So I like wrote something really quick in my Trello and I saw where you were coming from because the context of it was more like somebody was asking a question about, I don't know the exact question, but basically what to do when, or what should I do because blank didn't happen in my PPC goal. Like that was the context of it. And you gave, I sat up straight for the answer because I get asked this a lot about PPC and I'm like, there is no like one size fits all answer for this. So like, let's see what Ritu says. And it was killer. It was like, I'd have to diagnose the funnel and you said a much better answer than what I would have said, which was, it depends. So I'm like, we got to have her on the show and we're going to unpack that. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's one of my favorite topics because, you know, I get the opportunity to interact with a lot of sellers and I look at their accounts and they're always like bothered by the fact that PPC is just not working for them. I mean, for the majority of the people, it's the same thing. They're asking questions constantly about why something or the other isn't working. So, you know, we spend a lot of time helping people understand and get to the bottom of the problem. So I think it is something that we've kind of baked into a lot of our training as well. We kind of always talk about troubleshooting the funnel, and which is exactly what you were saying. So diagnosing the funnel or troubleshooting the funnel, this is like a very important topic, basically to help people understand what the source of their anxiety is, like where is the root cause of all the problems. And believe it or not, most people just look at one metric, and I'm pretty sure you can guess what that metric is. That's the only number that, you know, gets people sitting up straight. Like they just worry about it all the time. And that's the ACOS. I mean, that's the one number that will, you know, get people to feel like things are going great or not going great. Whereas things are way more complicated than just looking at an ACOS and saying whether it's healthy or not. So we've got kind of like a system to troubleshoot the funnel and we've got a lot of parts kind of to it.
Cool, I'm excited to unpack that. And I'm understanding that this diagnosing the funnel really comes in when somebody just asks one of those, my ACOS is too high, what do I do? Or I'm not getting impressions, what's the problem? Or like all these questions that I'm sure we get asked a lot. So a little bit of background here. I like this podcast, this show, I feel like I'm at the end of recording for a year, like I did my own like evaluation. I'm like, how to up my game here. And what I try to stay away from is this, like half the show is all about, you know, where the person was born, what is their favorite color, and like all this stuff leading up to the show. And it's like straight to the meat and potatoes. But in your case, I got to hear a tiny bit about it, and I don't know all of your backstory. And somebody doesn't just accidentally become a brilliant PPC operator. So there's Japan in the mix. I mean, there's just a lot. So I feel like there's an exception to be made. Some background for listeners. I first connected with you on LinkedIn, I think approximately 6 months ago. And speaking of Japan, it was based on another killer article you wrote about Amazon Japan, and it was keyword research. Caught my attention because Japan is probably the third largest platform for me, but keyword research is painful. Yeah. For Amazon Japan. So I was like, I gotta have her on. It was like being selfish, right? To get you on and just tell the group they needed this, but it was fantastic.
Thank you.
What did you, can you get into like how you became a PPC specialist? And was there any like specialized schooling or experience in your background that prepped you for this?
Sure. Happy to do that. You know, I actually started my e-commerce journey about 10 years ago when I started a small business selling jewelry. And this was way back in 2010. And it was in Japan. I was trying to sell handmade jewelry on Etsy. And that's how I kind of got started with e-commerce. And I realized that, you know, just because I had some jewelry and I put up a listing doesn't mean that someone is going to buy it. So my struggle really began when I was, you know, like trying to understand how I could get to market my my products and how I could get people to sell, to buy them. And that kind of led me down the path of learning how to write blogs, learning how to do video for photography, product photography, getting just creating a buzz around communities in Facebook and doing Google ads and stuff like that. So my whole, focus at that time was, how do I get people to buy my stuff? You know, that was the biggest thing. How do I get people to get, to find my stuff on Etsy? That was the start of my journey to kind of learn data a little bit. I had already kind of done my engineering a long time ago, and this was my second kind of going back to school event. So I went back to school. I actually moved countries. I went from Japan all the way to the United States to kind of do a course in data science. And that kind of brought me very close to what I'm doing right now, because, you know, while I was, at school, I kind of started exploring around like opportunities that could help me use my data science. And of course, I wanted to be in the space of e-commerce because I had my own business and stuff like that. And that kind of just got me into Amazon. And I just fell in love with Amazon advertising. And this has been like almost five years already. And it's been phenomenal because there's just so much to learn and to absorb. And in addition, Amazon is constantly throwing a lot of new kind of tools and lots of new kind of toys for us to play with. So I'm always super excited about Amazon PPC. And I've just been fortunate that I got the opportunity to manage really large clients. And because of that, you know, I had access to a lot of data. And generally with small accounts, that's a disadvantage because you can only do so much experimentation. But with large accounts, you can, you know, experiment with a lot and kind of, you know, take risks and stuff like that. So I guess that's kind of my background that kind of got me really interested and hooked into Amazon PPC.
I love how you just snuck in Japan and engineering like as an aside, right? Like that just like you squeezed, like barely had time to mention that. Like how did you... I don't hear a Japanese accent. So for anybody listening to this, how did you end up in Japan? And do you feel that engineering background or schooling helped you in any way with your PPC skill set?
Yeah, so I did my engineering in electronics and communication. So that's completely different from what I'm doing right now. I don't even know how I kind of landed here, seriously. But yeah, I mean, engineering was maybe good in terms of like giving me the discipline to kind of learn hard subjects and not feel intimidated. Maybe that was probably one of the biggest contributors to what I'm doing right now. But Japan was just, I guess, happenstance. Like I don't know how I landed in Japan. I lived there for so long, almost 17 years. And obviously when I was there, I learned the language and it was just fascinating. It was, every day was a learning experience. So I just enjoy learning, I would say. And all these different experiences that I've had kind of just reinforce that, you know, kind of desire to learn and grow with every new thing that I do.
When did you, as a seller, I get the motivation for, and kudos to that, because most people don't get it. They just post something on Etsy or wherever and then it doesn't sell. They're like, oh, the platform doesn't work. E-commerce doesn't work. Like yeah. you had the good sense to say, like, I got to do something about this to attract people here. And that thing is PPC. So I get that motivation. What motivated you to offer these services to other people? And how did you get those big clients? Which I agree with you. It's it definitely helps with the data.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, you know, I think it's, you know, getting the big client was, again, it was, I just feel lucky that I did, you know, and I think the one thing I would say about wanting to teach others PPC is because I think I'm also, you know, my early experience in my career was as an instructional designer. So I used to actually create courses on technology. And so that was kind of the background. So because I was an engineer, I was able to create courses on technology. And because I was an instructional designer, I was able to kind of get this, you know, desire to help other people understand what I had finally understood. So I guess all of these experiences are kind of tied in, and I don't regret any one of them. Each has been like very rewarding. Building up to the next.
Humble until the end. I love it. I want to dive into this topic, and I'm gonna let it go that you don't know how you got to Japan. Like I'll just leave that. You just somehow like we'll pretend like, yep. Right. So yep. I love it. The yep. What do you, in your own words, like let's get into diagnosing the PayPal the PPC funnel. Yep. Like let's get into that. Does diagnosing the Amazon PPC funnel require a certain level of prior experience to do it?
Actually, no, it's pretty simple. It's just understanding that things work, you know, in a certain way. And then you can just use all the data that we already have access to. We get so much data from Amazon. I think the only challenge people face is being able to organize that data and to be able to identify which one, which KPI, for example, is causing the most problems, or which one is the one to focus on to kind of turn things around. So there's a few different KPIs that we are, you know, we kind of know about because we've seen them on the dashboard and in Campaign Manager. We see those KPIs as Amazon already kind of gives that data to us. So let's just talk about, you know, what is the funnel? The funnel is basically this shape, right, that has impressions at the very top. It's got clicks in the middle and it's got sales at the bottom. So it's a very simple funnel, just like you would, you know, expect like a sales funnel, which has like a broad top and it's got a narrow bottom and there's things flowing through that funnel, right? So this PPC funnel basically has two conversion rates that are important. So the you know, I'm calling them conversion rates, but the first one is the rate of clicks to impressions, which is called this click-through rate, right? So that is one type of conversion. And the second conversion rate is the one that we refer to as conversion rate, right? Which is the ratio of sales to clicks, right? So how many of those clicks are actually able to convert into sales? Now, these conversion rates, or the CTR and the CR, are super, super important because they almost have the key to solving any of the problems that we kind of face with our PPC. And then there's other types of metrics that are almost the consequence or the result of whatever happens in the funnel. And these are your ACOS or your TACOS, right? Or your spend, right? Or even, things like, of course, your CPC, right? So those are the kind of consequences of whatever is happening in the funnel. So, when we kind of look at a new account, for example, we have like this, very extensive kind of spreadsheet where we look at things, first of all, from a very high level. We look at a 10,000 foot view of what's going on. For example, we will see, okay, how many campaigns does this account have? Within that, how many keywords does it have? How many ASIN targets? How many different ad types and so on? So that's also another type of funnel. It's measuring something a little bit different. It's, just looking at the structure of your campaigns, how you've kind of designed your campaigns so that you have like this kind of flow of traffic through to the keywords or to the targets. So when we look at troubleshooting the funnel, we actually look at if a certain rate is low, then why is it low? Is there a problem there? Is it that you are, for example, needlessly advertising, and what I mean by that is there is people who have very low conversion rate on the organic side, but they are really trying to push their PPC, throwing a lot of money at it, and then being frantic about why things are not moving or why things are so expensive. So let's just unpack that a little bit. I mentioned the first rate as being the click-through rate, the important rate as being the click-through rate. Now, do you know, Carlos, do you have any benchmarks in mind when someone says click-through rate? What should you expect? Like, what should be a good kind of click-through rate for any campaign or for any keyword? I'm just curious. Like, do you have a number? Like, it's okay, whatever number you can think of.
It so depends on, and I don't want to like feed this, but it so depends on what's the category, how the listing is.
Yep.
Like, I don't know if it's the PPC yet that's, poor PPC that's causing this, or is it you just have a junk listing, but you have a magician doing your PPC. So it just really depends on what's going on. What would you consider? I don't even know. What do people consider the average, like industry standard to be a healthy click-through rate?
Right. Yeah. So, the numbers that, we've been kind of fed or have learned over the years is that the magic number for click-through rate is somewhere around 0.5%, which means for every 1,000 clicks, you get five, for every 1,000 impressions, you would get five clicks, right? That's the 0.5 ratio. But it's much more than just that. It's not just, hitting that number. It's much more than that. So, recently we had like this mastermind where I had kind of asked everyone to, just look at every ad type and just see what is the click-through rate of each ad type. And we were surprised by the results because on the one hand, we had auto campaigns at a very poor click-through rate of 0.1%. And this was average across the class. We just did a numbers total. So 0.1 on the auto campaign, sponsored brands was somewhere like 0.17%, sponsored display was 0.19 and so on. And on the other end of the spectrum, the highest click-through rate was, guess which one? It was the video ad. So the video ad had an average click-through rate of 1.74, which is like 10 times or even more than an auto campaign. So campaign type matters. Like if you're just averaging it, averages are very misleading. They're extremely misleading because they're not really telling you what the actual problem is. So if I were to wear, the hat of like a seller who's just trying to figure out like what's going on in their account and trying to improve, I know that most people would just look at averages and then kind of just react very differently than perhaps what we would do here at BBC Ninja, where we actually look at every single ad type and try to figure out where we have an opportunity. So if your video ads are giving you 1.74% click-through rate, why wouldn't you do more of that? In fact, people don't do enough of that. They do more of the other type. They do more of the keyword-based ads, or, you know, even now people, I find people very reluctant to do product targeting ads. There's so many product targeting ads that we can run for sponsored products, for sponsored brands, for sponsored display. And then you also have category targeting ad for all three ad types. But most people just fret over keyword ranking and keyword based targets. And that's where they lose out, because, you know, that's where all the competition is. That's where all the click-throughs drop. And they can almost, you know, transfer their keyword strategy onto video ads and see a much better result, but they don't, because they're stuck in this, you know, in the past, in a sense, because that's what we've been taught, right? Focus on your keywords. The bulk of the trainings that I've seen out there are talking about broad phrase and exact match and how to negate keywords and stuff like that. So it's mostly about keywords. And I get that, because sponsored products, keyword targeting ads do kind of make up the bulk of your overall conversions. But for, let's say, a small account that's just struggling to get off the ground, I think it's smarter to kind of spread your ad strategy out to where things are actually working, you know, and that's where they can start seeing some small wins, you know. So, yeah, go ahead.
Can you, I want to help people visualize this, especially since everyone here is not, and we're getting a lot of acronyms thrown at them, and conversion rates and CPC and all this stuff. So let's say somebody was spending $100 a day and they went to PPC Ninja and you're diagnosing their PPC funnel. And in that scenario, it was the same click-through rates that you just mentioned, that I guess you said they were the average of what that mastermind group had across, right? So that's what was going on. What would you change about their spend, if anything, per day, based on this information that you unearthed?
Yeah, absolutely. So, for example, if they have keyword-based ads, right, sponsored product, keyword targeting ads, let's say they have 15 of those, and I know people are slowly learning to create more ads than less, and when I say 15, I mean that each campaign has fewer keywords, and that's the only way you can get to that number, right? In the past, we had, you know, more, you know, there was more keyword stuffing that was happening, but now people have kind of learned to kind of spread their keywords out. If they can have 15 sponsored product keyword targeting ads, why do they not have 15 video ads? It's the same thing. You can target the same keywords with video ads. You just need one video and you just copy it over and over again. So that's the, you know, kind of the weirdness of the situation is, you know, I'm seeing a higher click-through rate on video ads, but I'm seeing the obsession with the keyword ad. So I would just help them see that by just looking at the click-through rate and seeing where the opportunity is. You don't need to fight. You need to basically pick your battles. Fight where you can get some results, like any low-hanging fruit that you can find in that mix. I would just go after that, double down on the successes, and maybe ease off on some of the things that are not working so well.
That makes sense. What would you... Can you give an example just based off this very limited, it depends on like what you would do with the spend? Like, would you pull from your auto campaigns is what you're saying? So like say it in a perfect world, it was divided equally, not a perfect world, but for this example, like say you had, you know, all your different ad types and you had the $100 spread out equally. Would you sort of steal spend from the auto campaign and just pump it into sponsored brand video?
Yeah, I would definitely create more video ads and not necessarily limit the budget, because the way I look at budget is different. I don't look at budget as spend. So that's the one of the biggest mistakes that people make. They think that because they have a $100 budget that they're actually spending $100 a day. They don't. They spend much less than that because of the way the bids are. It's the bids that determine how much you end up spending and not the budget so much. Now, you might have a situation where you're bidding so high that you're actually ending up running out of your budget each day. And that's an unhealthy situation regardless. Like, you have to do something about that. There's got to be some looking under the hood to find out what the biggest offenders are and get rid of those keywords or lower the bids on that. So that's an unhealthy situation, which we're not talking about. We're mostly talking about spreading your ad types to types that are actually delivering better. Like, for example, video ads, or in some cases, even sponsored display ads kind of do much better than some of the other kind of keyword ads. So each account being different, each category being different, you got to just look at it and say, okay, I'm willing to spend more here and less here. And so the less here would manifest more in the form of keyword bids and not so much budget reduction, if you know what I'm saying.
Absolutely. With your example of just get the same video and just break it out 15 times,
yeah.
is that more of a look, that's better than nothing? Or would you actually do that? Or how many different video types would you suggest?
Yeah, I create, easily, like if I want to rank for certain keywords, I even use video ads for ranking because I know that I can create single keyword campaigns. And I can do that with a video ad and use that to kind of drive conversions. And so what Amazon basically needs for ranking is enough proof, enough evidence that a particular keyword actually converts. If you show conversions, then Amazon is happy. I mean, and that keyword gets associated with your product. So you want to find as many opportunities as possible to convert on as many relevant keywords as possible. And video ads is one great way of doing it. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's one thing will never change. Amazon is not going to penalize conversions. So yes, the more conversions you get, the better it is for them.
The better it is. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's just a little bit, almost touching the tip of the iceberg, actually. But this is kind of what I think of when I look at click-through rates. I will analyze it by ad type, and then I will see where I have an opportunity where I can kind of divert my attention and kind of also my funds a little bit and double down on successes wherever I can kind of find them.
I noticed that you mentioned the 10,000 foot view. Yes. It sounds like you started right from the PPC report. Is this assuming that you already checked out the listing, or is that of your starting point? Like somebody just sent over your report and you're like, let me take a look at this first before anything else.
Exactly. Yeah. So the first thing I would do is a 10,000 foot view of their PPC. And then the second step would be to do a kind of second level analysis of their account health, which is more like impressions and clicks and so on. So even before I analyze impressions and clicks, I have a pre-step, which is looking at how many of these do they have? How many campaigns are they running? Are they just running one? I mean, that might just throttle everything. You know, if they're just running one auto, one manual, that's bad news. And there was a time, believe it or not, like two and a half years ago, that was how we used to operate. Like we used to even say things like, oh, get rid of auto as soon as possible because you want to control more. And so the focus was how to get rid of auto and create more manual, but no longer the case because auto is becoming better and better. We want to actually take advantage of all the four auto targeting groups, the close match, loose match, substitutes and complements. So, ad type coverage is actually the forerunner. And that's something that we, like, even before we start to troubleshoot the funnel, we want to make sure that we've done our homework. We've done our, groundwork of setting up all the different ad types.
Sweet. Can you take us the next step into this diagnosing of the funnel?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So I can tell you what my levels are. So the first level is the 10,000 foot view, as I said. The next level is the account health. Third level is campaign overview, where I kind of analyze each campaign's, for example, average keyword count per campaign, things like that. So I look at the health of the campaign in terms of profitable keywords, unprofitable keywords, things like that. And then I drill down further into answering some questions about that campaign. For example, are all campaigns separated by match type or not? Are the budgets being restricted? Because a lot of people make that mistake. They will restrict their budget, especially when the ACoS is good. That's a bad sign. I mean, if your ACoS is good, why would you limit your budget? There is no reason to limit your budget, right? So things like that. So then I would kind of have a long questionnaire that I ask myself. I have checks and crosses that basically tell me about campaign health. And then I will look for opportunities for improvement everywhere with the keywords, with the ad groups, with the campaigns, with the rates, and so on. Yeah.
What would you say, like, how often are you diagnosing funnels? Let's start with that. Like, how often do you feel like you're diagnosing somebody's funnel?
Yeah, so I would do that definitely the first time I encounter their account, because that's, you know, it gets me familiarized with, you know, everything that's going on. It helps me to understand if there is any opportunity for improvement or not. And most of the times there is. There's always opportunities for improvement. It's just that they can't see it because they're so close to everything and they're unable to kind of see what's what needs to be improved. And then I also look for areas that are, you know, things that they must cut back on. You know, way too often people are obsessed with their keywords because they think that's the right keyword that they should be ranking for. And why aren't they showing up on page one? You know, so page one is not something you can get to overnight. It's a slow process, you know, unless you're doing some black hat stuff. But even then, it's very temporary. You have to work through the conversions that they have to happen in order for keywords to actually become relevant, because after you're dealing with an algorithm, right? So it's not an overnight process. It requires a lot of time. But in the meantime, there's a lot you can do. Like, you don't just have to focus on those keywords that show up on page one. You can work through you know, product targeting ads, category targeting ads, video ads. There's so many opportunities, right? So we basically help our customers see that, because they don't. Unfortunately, they don't see that. They just look at lost opportunity or the difficulty of ranking on page one, and they miss out on what they can do. You know, they're only looking at what is not working. So yeah, so that's kind of the approach that we have.
Well, what would you say is the biggest culprit? Like, more often than not, like, what are the odds that the problem is blank? So what culprit do you see that most people have going on that?
The most frequent one is conversion rate. It's mostly that, because there's something on their listing that does not answer the question, whether the question is in the form of a keyword, because someone typed that keyword and then they went to the listing and they didn't find enough to kind of satisfy that question, or the listing is just not retail ready. Like, I wouldn't even try to do PPC if the listing is poorly done, if you haven't optimized all your images, or if there's a few kind of poor reviews kind of sticking out at the top. Like, if you have anything under 3.5 stars, I would be like, back off on your PPC a little bit, kind of get the listing to a state where it can actually convert before throwing money at it. So that's how I would look at it. And that's kind of bringing me to the next point that I was trying to make about the next type of conversion rate, which is the one between sales and clicks. The sales, sales coming from clicks, this is the number one kind of cause I see of problems when people, you know, are kind of fumbling in the dark with, I don't know, it's not working, my PPC is not working. If they only could look at their listing and find just the five or six couple of basic things, if they could check them off themselves, that would be huge. For example, the first one is the images. Do they have all the images, and are they clear enough, or is there like fonts that are too small to read? Or like, even if they could, you know, hire some of the listing consultants, I know a few that could just look at their listing and give them an assessment of what's not okay with it. And it doesn't cost a ton. You know, you can always get a listing expert to look at your listing and give you feedback, and improving your image quality can go a long way in helping with that conversion. Then of course there's the title. you know, a title that serves two purposes. One that serves the algorithm because it's got the right keywords in it. And second, it serves the shopper because it explains the benefit of what they're buying, right? So if you can get these two into the title, and I know there's restrictions on character count and all that stuff, but if you can be creative and kind of pack those into the title, that goes a long way in helping conversion rates go up. Price, of course, is an important one, but price is something you can't often control. What you can do, though, is run coupons. That can always, you know, it's eye-catching because you have that coupon, the badge, the color, it looks different. It just is so eye-catching. And so always having a coupon, I generally recommend doing a dollar off versus a percentage off because it's just easier on the brain to kind of calculate that you're definitely going to get $5 less or whatever. That really helps. So if you, even if you cannot alter your price too often, you can always run coupons and get, you know, kind of bake in your pricing in, you know, the coupon price or coupon strategy into your pricing from the start so that you can actually keep doing coupons from time to time. Once one expires, you can always start another one. Yeah, I think the other two or three that affect like conversion rate could be just simple poor grammar or just description is not matching the, you know, the keyword or not flowing, text is not flowing, or you don't have any good call outs at the bullet, at the head of each bullet point. I think there's a little bit of a confusion about whether all caps are allowed or not, but regardless, there should be like a summary kind of short phrase that kind of explains what the bullet is about so that people can just skim it, just make your content pretty skimmable, and provide the benefits that people want to see in your listing.
So I'm understanding for PPC to even have a fighting chance, you have to have a listing. I think you said it retail ready. I call it PPC ready.
Yes.
Like the listing has to be PPC ready so that it's receptive to receive all the love from these PPC campaigns. So let me ask you a question coming from an experienced you're an experienced PPC operator. What would you prefer if you were looking at a listing and you could only pick one, a just killer main image and a mediocre title or a killer title and a mediocre main image? Which one would you prefer as a PPC operator?
Oh, I would pick a killer image for sure because it just speaks volumes about what the product is. I mean, yeah, that would be my choice if I could just pick one. Yeah. yeah, but you know, I think the image also has a lot of restrictions, right? You've got to have a white background and all that stuff. So, but I'm seeing a lot of ways people are being creative with their main images, like just the angles and, you know, showcasing the product in a way that is attractive. So I think putting in that extra effort really goes a long way.
Absolutely. Anthony, I don't know if you know Anthony Confrancesco from PicFu. He recently did this like really cool campaign and presented to the group. And I thought, you know, 15 years of selling that I could not be taught anything new when it comes to like main image tricks and tactics that are being used. He blew me away. So yeah. You could get really creative with that main image. Let me ask you a question that I've asked you already, but in a different way. And that is, you know, what would be the opposite of diagnosing the Amazon PPC funnel? So I think a lot of people do this. Are you understanding what I'm asking? So what would be the opposite of it?
So if I understand you correct, making assumptions would be probably the opposite of diagnosing because you're just assuming that things are not working because dot, dot, dot. They might, you know, think incorrectly that the problem is that the market is too competitive. I mean, that's probably what most people conclude. They're like, oh, my niche is too competitive. Every niche is competitive. Every niche has 100 factory brands that will compete for, you know, at a much better price. They're going to give you a much better overall. I mean, they'll obviously have a lot of game reviews and stuff like that. So they're starting at a much better position already. So I don't think it's, you know, one niche is more competitive than the other. Although, well, there might be some niches that have a higher kind of base bid, even like supplements and so on, that could be expensive. But by and large, most of the niches that I know of are competitive. Everything is competitive on Amazon. So incorrectly assuming that, you know, because my niche is so competitive, that's why my ACoS is so high, is, I think, a false statement. There's opportunities there. You have to look under the hood. Because if you don't, you just look at aggregates and averages, and that's going to be misleading. So the goal is to kind of break things down, going down the funnel, trying to understand where the root cause is and fixing that problem there, and looking for opportunities wherever you can find them. That's what I would say.
I think that's going to be like the sizzle reel of this show right there. Aggregates and averages, like that clip, I just killed it. I made a little mark. I'm like, that's it. That's what's going on Instagram. So everybody listens to this. I love that. And assumptions is right. Like I see so many people making assumptions because they don't like, I wouldn't even say specifically what, because there's so many things, but they don't like the state of where their PPC is at. Yes. And they just immediately jump over to, I'm swapping out my images. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to put another title. Oh. And they just keep doing this. And in reality, in a lot of the cases, actually, it was like, that's an awesome image. Mm-hmm. Like you're just compounding the problem and you don't even know it. You're operating blindly. You're assuming, like you said.
Yes.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think the numbers that they look at the most, like I said in the beginning, is the ACoS. They look at the ACoS and they freak out. They're like, oh my goodness, this is too expensive. My ACoS is running through the roof and all that stuff. So let me just say something about ACoS, right? Why do we have high ACoS? There's a few different reasons, right? And I'm just highlighting the most important ones. So the first reason why ACoS is high is because you're just paying too much per click. You know, your CPCs are high, and so it just adds up. You're ending up spending a lot more for a single conversion, right? That's one of the reasons. The second reason is that your conversion rate is low, which means even if you're bidding low and your cost per click is manageable, which is kind of low, you still have the problem that you need 20 clicks to make one sale. For example, at a 5% conversion rate, you need 20 clicks to make one sale. And that's the problem, because you're spending a lot that way and you're getting one sale after a lot of wait, after a lot of clicks, right? So either it's each click is costing a lot. So if your bids are, let's say, $3, you know, all you need is 10 clicks and that's $30 gone, right? Or you have a 50 cent click cost per click, but you have 20 clicks before you make a sale. So these two are the main ones. The third one is kind of, well, maybe obvious to some, maybe not, but this is coming from poorly optimized campaigns. So for example, if you have a campaign with a variety of keywords, some that are profitable, some that are not, some that are bleeding, some that don't even have any impressions and so on. So there's a whole variety of keywords within any campaign if you look. So when you have poorly optimized campaigns, you know, you basically end up leaking money through the ones that are not actually converting. So focusing on that, I would say could help improve the overall ACoS tremendously. So always going to be looking at things that are bleeding, cutting back on the bids for those. And I know a lot of softwares will do that automatically. You know, even PPC Ninja gives you recommendations on how to lower your bids when it's not within your target ACoS. But there's some, keywords that you do want to rank for example. And, you know, you want to make sure that those are being bid appropriately so that you are being relevant for them. So I guess looking at every campaign and trying to figure out how optimized this campaign is. That's kind of the ongoing journey of PPC, if you may. If that's, you know, that's the one thing that all of us have kind of understood that we have to do over and over again. And then I think the fourth one that I want to say is that causes high ACOS is where you are competing in an unprofitable placement. So there's, you know, three placements, as we know, there's top of search, there's product pages, and there's rest of search. You can't really do anything about the rest of search because that's page one below the fold and every other page. That's the definition of rest of search. Product pages, yes, you can do something about it because you can, you know, kind of bid optimize a little bit differently than top of search. You know, I think that, you know, no, people don't really look at their placement report. That's the one place that you can actually figure out which placement is working for you. I mean, if they only did that simple step of looking at per campaign, what is the top of search conversion rate? What is the top of search ACOS? And similarly for each of the other placements. If you do that, it'll just open up your eyes to which one you should prioritize. You know, so sometimes the sales coming from product pages and top of search are so close and the ACOS is so different that you can almost say, hey, this one is better. And then it's the answer is not always top of search. That's the mistake people make. They always think top of search is the best placement. It isn't. Every campaign has its own kind of history and it's, you know, it's come to a certain place in time because of the interactions that the campaign had with shoppers and, you know, bids and all that stuff. So knowing where your campaign stands, which placements are working the best for you and optimizing the ones that are working for you and prioritizing those can help in improving your ACOS overall as well.
Solid gold. That was amazing. Yeah, placement is critical. Yeah. It seems like it's becoming more and more critical as time goes on. Ritu, is there anything else about, I'm sure we could go on forever about this, but about diagnosing the funnel, like the main sections, have we touched on all of them already? Is there any more sections that you think we should speak about now?
Yeah, I think, this is pretty much what I wanted to cover. So just remember that there's, you know, there's a click-through rate, there's a conversion rate, and then there's the ACOS that you need to be paying attention to. And the reasons for these numbers to be off or not as per your expectation has a lot to do with the details, right? So really digging into the details and finding out where there are opportunities and where there are, you know, opportunity to scale back because it's not working. So doubling down on what's working, letting go of what's not working, that's generally kind of the approach that we have. I mean, of course, as you said, there's so much to discuss there. You know, we could go on for hours, but yeah, I would say this, you know, we can probably wrap it up at this point. Yeah.
So people, we've covered a lot in this episode. I mean, threw a lot of acronyms around. We did start this with anybody, a person does not need to be an expert to be able to diagnose their funnel. I think we laid it out really good and we accomplished that mission. Like the reports even re-referenced things that people need to look at. We referenced the whole conversion rate, whether it's just immediately too expensive for you to even be bidding on that or whether you're just death by 1,000 cuts and you're not profitable that way. That's how I refer to it. Placements, we covered a lot. There is going to be people that are going to want to reach out to you and work with you or have questions about something we covered. Can you speak a little bit about, you know, what PPC Ninja is? How can people best interact with you? I know that you have, I think a few people in my group may have taken you up on this, but there's like a PPC Ninja mastermind even going on. Can you speak a little bit to that?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I can share about the 4-week mastermind. So we have this running mastermind that we kind of do. It's a 4-week long mastermind. And as soon as we get over with one, we start the next. And so it's like regardless of when you're listening to this, I'm pretty sure we have a mastermind coming up soon. So it's free and it basically gives you access to some of our, actually all of our tools. So we have PPC Ninja tools that help you optimize your PPC, help you troubleshoot a lot of problems. It's really a great tool to kind of diagnose a lot of the things that we've been talking about today, because it allows you through Excel-like views, it allows you to kind of drill down to each keyword level. We even have like keyword charts and things like that to help you see the history of a keyword or a target over time. So it's a really cool tool. The other offering we have is we also do consulting. We run PPC for our clients as well. And we do one-on-one coaching, group coaching, and a lot more. The best way to reach me is through LinkedIn. If you can just search up my full name, Ritu Java, RITUJAVA. I'd be happy to interact with you there. You can also kind of join our mastermind. It's let me just give you the link real quick. It's ppcninja.com/ppcmastermind. And you can look that up and see if you qualify, and then you can sign up for the next one.
Yeah, I have it pulled up in front of me. Super straightforward. Doesn't even look like it's asking for any billing. I don't know if you go deeper, if it does, but that's fine. Really cool. Love the whole other topic would be like the graphics and the branding and everything that went behind this. Total aside question that I just want to ask for personal reasons. Yes. That is a freaking awesome domain. Like how did you guys land that domain name? Like it's one of those domains, you know, for sure does not exist when you go look for it, yes. But it was obviously available.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, when we were trying to name the company, we did think of a few different options, and this was actually our first choice, but thankfully it wasn't taken already. So we were just lucky. I think it's a pretty good name.
And what's the best way for somebody to reach you? Is it through the website? Is there a specific email?
Yeah, you can just reach me through LinkedIn. So just Ritu Java at LinkedIn, and I'll be happy to interact with you there.
I love it. Before I let you escape from this podcast, I have the question I like to ask all the guests, and that is, what is your favorite book and why?
Yeah, you know, one of my favorite authors is Eliyahu Goldratt, Eli Goldratt for short. And I like all his books, but one that I really like and I read like years and years ago is The Theory of Constraints. And it's just so magical because it kind of talks about, you know, the things that become bottlenecks. And I just love that topic. And I think some of what we discussed today is kind of related because there's bottlenecks everywhere. And being able to identify those bottlenecks and kind of releasing them can go a long way in, you know, the smooth operation of anything like your company, your PPC, your sales, everything, you know, just knowing where the bottlenecks are and finding those out and kind of solving them. So that's my favorite book.
Love it. It's a book I've not read either. And like sticking to my self-imposed rule, anytime somebody on the show suggests a book, I will be ordering it. Eliyahu Goldratt.
Eliyahu Goldratt. Yes, exactly.
All right. I'm hoping it is on Audible since I have like a full schedule. So we'll see. But either way, I'm going to order it. I will follow up with you and let you know what I thought about the book. Ritu, you killed it. Again, you're absolutely amazing person. Love PPC Ninja. I'm hoping everybody listening to this show loved it and reaches out to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely, Carlos. It's always a pleasure chatting with you. Thank you.
All right. I'll talk to everybody next week.
It was fun sharing this episode with you. If you found value in what you've heard, please show your love with a subscribe, rate, and review of the show. Until next time.